Welcome back, everybody, to Daf Yomi. Today we are up to Daf Ayin Beis in Maseches Bava Metzia 72 in Bava Metzia. We are on the top, actually, of Ayin Beis and Aleph. We are going to be starting three lines from the top towards the end of the line, Tanu Rabbanan. So remember, yesterday we were talking about this concept where we have Reuven, Esav, and Shimon. So remember, where we have those three people and there's a loan happening, and how exactly it works in terms of collecting. Let's say you're doing it al das Yisrael, al das Nachri. Remember, we had five answers to show why it's not necessarily going to be ribis. We ended by saying that maybe there's something called zechiyah, but not shlichus. Got into a whole big discussion whether there's shlichus legoy. We say there's really ain shlichus legoy, except lechumra, there would be shlichus legoy. So this is kind of where we left off. Now we are starting a new type of thing, obviously, within ribis. One second, obviously within ribis, but we're going to start from Tanu Rabbanan. Yeah, what'd you say?
You said
Zechiyah. Zechiyah
has a concept of
Zechiyah Shalom B'Fanav. So right. So, but that's related to Zechiyah, but that's not exactly what that's why when we spoke about Katan here, it does touch on the Ger Katan, so using Subas Yod Aleph and all the things along those lines, but it's a little bit different than that.
Okay.
Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, a fascinating case. Rabbi Sons of Bryce Yisrael Shalom Amos Minan Nachri Beribis. So a Jew borrowed money from a non-Jew with ribis, right? So again, the Jew borrows $100 to go and pay back $120. This is a ribis loan, but we said it's with a non-Jew, and therefore it's going to be okay. Practically, la halacha, we should know that we paskin, even though it seemed like from the previous gemara that there might be an issue midirabbanan, we end up saying that what? We say it's going to be fine because this is how people have to do business, right? If you're going to interact with the business world, this is kind of how things have to go. Now, we don't do it with Jews, but with non-Jews, it's not going to be a problem. Even though we saw yesterday, there might be two other reasons why it's not going to be a problem. Either because you're allowed to do it, bichtei chayiv, to go and just make sure that you're paying your bills. You're able to go and support it like that, number one. Or number two is that if you're a Talmud Chacham, you don't necessarily have to worry about it. So that was a big discussion over there. But here we're saying again, so a Jew borrowed money from a non-Jew with ribis, v'zakfan alav b'milva, so then he went and combined it all into one new loan document. So it was 100, the principal, and then the interest was 20. But now instead, before whatever, they wanted to restructure how it looked. So they just created a new loan document worth $120. Right, so it went from being an 100 with a $20 interest to just being a $120 loan. So they restructured what it looked like, and now in the meantime, Viniskayer, and now this non-Jew converted. Right, this was always the thing when it comes to chametz. When you sell your chametz, you got to make sure that the guy is not Jewish. So Rabbi Willig, for many, many years, had this guy. Anyone know his name? John Brown, right? Had John Brown. He loved having this guy because he was a big real estate guy. So that way he could technically make the purchase if he wanted to. We also knew all about kinyanim and transfers of ownership. And one time, I think one of Rabbi Willig's sons, apparently, I don't remember the story exactly, but I think he was in Israel and he ran into John Brown. He's like, oh, John, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, it's my grandson's bar mitzvah. And he's like, really? Really? What exactly do you mean? Now, yeah, not a great ending. I think someone intermarried, whatever it is. But yeah, my grandson's bar mitzvah. But John Brown was not Jewish, so it worked out. Everything was
John
good.
John Brown's wife was Jewish.
Either that, or John Brown's son married a Jewish girl, or whatever. Who knows? There's a lot.
John Brown was just
right. Correct.
He's still a guy.
Just maybe John Brown. Right. Does sound like it was kind of just a nickname over here. But this was John Brown. John Brown actually an amazing story. So his father and grandfather both passed away in their 40s, and he figured that the same was going to happen to him, but he used to tell people that because he has this privilege of selling the chametz or buying the chametz every year, that's what keeps him. And during COVID, the one year he wasn't able to do mechiras chametz is when he passed away.
Oh,
so,
God.
I don't know. Again, who knows? He's probably 80, but still, pretty good.
Are we willing to get rid of him as the guy the next year or not?
Well, I mean, he died, so.
Oh, the very next year.
That year he died, like the one year they didn't do mechiras chametz. Now he has a different guy who's also
Not
no, he did not in person. It was like they had this whole. He had this whole big. Had this whole big thing.
John Brownstein.
No, so that is another guy. I don't know the guy. I don't know what he does, but it's the same idea. Right? Will likes to have it as real as possible. Obviously, okay. Anyway, let's go back to our thing. So, Tanu Rabbanan again. We started from the third line on Ayin Beis and Aleph. So, a Jew who's borrowing Beribis, and they restructure this loan to make it one big loan instead of being a principal and an interest. Viniskayer, now this guy converts. Im kodem shiniskayer zakfan alav b'milva, goves hakarem v'goves haribis. So if this thing was restructured into 120 total before this guy converted, then you can go and collect the entire thing. But v'im la'achar shiniskayer zakfan alav b'milva. But if they restructured it after after the conversion happened, goves hakeren ve'ino goves haribis. You're allowed to go and collect the keren. The principal is allowed to be collected, but the ribis is not allowed to be collected. Now, says Gemara, v'chein nachri shalava mos miyisrael beribis. And the same thing applies. Let's say a Jew lent out money to a guy beribis. So again, I lend out to Esav. By the way, that really helped the Esav mentioned. That was very good. Esav helped. It keeps it clear as opposed to John, Jim, whatever it is. So I lend out money to Esav at 100. And now I say that he's got to pay me back 120. V'zakfan alav b'milva. And we now restructured it into one big $120 loan, Viniskayer, and now Esav goes and converts, Imad Shalom Niskayer, Zakfan Alav, Bimilva. So if we restructured it before the conversion, Goves Akarmi, Goves Aribis, then I'm allowed to collect everything. But Imishin Niskayer, Zakfan Alav, Bimilva, Goves Akarmi, Goves Aribis. But if the restructuring only happened after the conversion, then again, you can only collect the keren and you cannot collect the interest. Rabbi Yossi Omer Nachri Shalava Mos Miyisrael Beribis Bein Kach Ubein Kach Goves Hakeren VeGoves Haribis. Says Rabbi Yossi that when it comes to a Jew collecting from a non-Jew, then what? It doesn't matter whether it was before or after the conversion. No matter what, you are going to be able to collect the keren and the ribis as well. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Huna. Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi that when it comes to a Jew collecting, it's very different than a Jew lending out. So says Gemara, I'm a Rav, my time at Rabbi Yossi. What's the reason for Rabbi Yossi? Why would Rabbi Yossi say that? What? What again did Rabbi Yossi say? That it doesn't matter whether it was before or after conversion. Why would Rabbi Yossi say such a thing? Says the Gemara, Kadesh Shalom Yom Rabbi Shvil Ma'osav Niskayer Zeh, because we want to go and protect against people claiming that the only reason that Esav converted is so he would save himself. So maybe for $20 he wouldn't save himself, but let's say it was $1 million loan and he had to pay me back 20%, so $200,000. So now you're going to say, you know, I might just pay to become a Jew just so I don't have to pay back the interest. I'll become a Jew, I'll pay back the million, I save myself the $200,000. So we don't want people messing with ulterior motives when it comes to Geirus. There's already enough of, it's difficult enough as it is. So we don't want to mess with that type of thing. So we're going to say, no matter what, when it comes to collecting, you can always collect the ribis, whether it was before conversion or after conversion, that this new restructuring of the loan happened. Good. That seems to be what we paskin, yes. It does seem to be like that. So if you look at, you see the Dalad by Kedei?
Yeah,
right, exactly. This is the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. So if you look over here, what does it say? It says, Maimon Perakei Milchos Malve Halacha Vav and Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Simin Kuf Ayin Aleph.
Makes
a lot more sense.
Ribis Yoraiso?
Oh, very good, very good. So it sounds like we're talking about, good question. It sounds like Ribis Derabanan, otherwise we wouldn't be able to have these things. So it, you know what, that's a good question. It might be, no, look, because we've been saying that there's no such thing as ribis de oraisa when it comes to a non-Jew, right? So by non-Jews,
non-Jew became a Jew.
So now,
and now we're saying, and we put the interest on him if he became,
well, we restructured, that's only a restructure. The actual loan itself happened while he was a non-Jew. We're only talking about the restructuring, so it could really be both, but it's a good question. It's a good question. I think it could be both, right? It sounds like this is a loan with more, but when it's to a non-Jew, as long as he was a non-Jew at some status, at some point, then it's not going to be Del Raisa, okay. Right? So I think that's really what we're talking about over here.
You should not abrogate the halachas of ribis de oraisa.
That's true, but we're not talking, but
right,
we,
so it can't be ribis de oraisa.
No, but it's not ribis de, meaning, I think what he was asking, is it a real ribis case or an avak ribis case?
Right.
It sounds like it's a real ribis case, but because the guy was a guy, so it's not going to be ribis de oraisa, obviously. But now the question is, after the conversion, so that's not, the loan, the whole katsutza wasn't set when he was a Jew. So that's why it's not going to be ribis d'oraisa. But the structure of the loan itself sounds like it could be a d'oraisa type thing as opposed to a sale, which we've seen, which is d'rabbanan. Good, next. Says Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Shtar Shekasabo, Ribis, Kon Shinosove, Eno Gova, Loes HaKerem, Loes HaRibis. Divri Rebbe Meir, a fascinating concept by Rebbe Meir. That let's say you have a shtar that says, I go to Binyamin, I say, Binyamin, here's $100, you got to pay me back 120, we make a shtar, signed, sealed, and delivered. If we have that shtar, Rabbi Meir says, because you're not allowed to collect ribis, you also cannot collect the keren, we penalize a person. But the chachamim say, no, the loan I gave Binyamin of 100, that I can still collect, but the extra 20, that I cannot collect. So in my kamaflegi, what's this machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the chachamim? Rabbi Meir savar kansina neteira misha misura. Because Rabbi Meir says, we're going to knas you when you do something like this, so we're going to knas you on the heter stuff, to that way, stay away from the usher stuff, right? So that's what we're doing. We're making a knas over here. I feel like there's smacks of kedoshim to you in there, this week's parsha. But we have a knas of the mutter because of the aser. Rabbanan tavri lo kanzina hetera misha misura. But the Rabbanan say, no, we do not make such a knas. Says Gemara Tanan Hasam Shtarecho. We're going to continue on this type of topic. So we have a mishnah over there. In Shvius, which says Shtarechov, Hamukdamim Psuin, Hamucharin, Kesherin. So let's say you have a predated star. That is a puzzle star. Why is it puzzle? Because if it's predated, then we know you're allowed to collect from the Nechasim Mishubadim. So if you're going to go and start collecting, let's say the loan only happened in, what month are we in? We're in May. Let's say the loan only happened, the transaction only happened in May, but it says January in the star. That's going to be a problem because any transaction that I had from January to May is now going to be included if something happens to the Mishubadim, and that's going to be a big problem. You can't do that. But the Hamu'ucharin, but if it's going to be a later date, let's say it really happened in January and I only wrote May, so the buyer is allowed to be mochel, right? He's allowed to say, okay, I'm not going to collect on anything until May, so that you're allowed to do. Muktam poslin suin. So why is shtar muktam going to be puzzle? Because nihid lo gavu mizman rishon nigvu mizman sheni. Why is the shtar puzzle? Granted, okay, so once we've established that it wasn't actually done in January, really it was done in May, so just keep the shtar kosher and say, just you're not allowed to collect from January to May. You're only allowed to collect from May when the actual transfer of the stuff happened. So why can't we split it up? So I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Machokish Nuev, Rabbi Meir here, because this fits into our Shita of Rabbi Meir. Remember, what did Rabbi Meir just say? Exactly, Rabbi Meir just said that we don't allow you to even collect the principal because there's a knas because of the ribbis. So too over here. You're right. Technically, you could just say, we're going to keep the shtar muktam, even though it says January, and just cross off the January part. Just go for May. But no, Rabbi Meir, again, is of the Shita that we put some sort of knas over here. And that's why we say it's going to be no good. But comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Temer Rabbanan. No, even if you want to say that the Rabbanan...
There's no Knas.
Exactly. You want to hold like the Rabbanan that there's no Knas. He could still hold in this situation that a Shtar Muktam is going to be possible because Gzeir Hashem Yigbeh Mizman Rishon. It's just not a good idea, right? Like if you have a Shtar that has January and May on it, you'll go to a different place. You'll go to a this. You'll go to that. Not everyone's going to know about this. Mm-hmm. It's going to be bad. We don't like to put ourselves, again, Kiddushim to you, we don't like to put ourselves in situations where we're probably going to fail, right? You might be able to pass today. You might be able to pass tomorrow. But when you have a field worth $1 million that you can go and collect by forging a star, more heter, right? Remember we said, Rav Asher Weiss, they asked him, what's the heter for, you know, not paying tax on certain things or whatever it is? And he said, more heter, which means that people just tell themselves it's okay, right? So that's the... Right, we had Mora Hector on Daf Bezim and Bez, right? Wasn't that the top line over here? Mishum Demora V'Amar, right? Exactly. Bezim and Bez on top. That if we just said a Mitzia, people would say, oh, it's a Mitzia, I'm not actually stealing from it. And if it was just a Mekach, oh, I can go buy one somewhere else. Mora Hector's a big thing. Good. Says the Gemara.
Speaking of
Daf. Oh, right. Daf Memalv yesterday. Binyam and Herb. Ben Kedushin Memalv yesterday. Baruch Hashem. Shlichus, 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 right? What was the context? All right, atem gam atem, right? We were talking about how do we know shlichus and kol haTorah kula from?
Daf
mem alef. But what's the drasha from? Which area of halacha? What's atem gam atem? Where's that from? Come on, we got to know this. Atem gam atem is from which section in halacha? We said ma atem b'nei bris af b'nei af the shluchachem is b'nei bris. Everyone's got to be Jewish. We learned it out from one area of halacha. It's from Truma. Right? Truma has Atem, the Rabos Atem, Gam Atem, right? Good, so we got to know that. It's not just Kedushin Mem Aleph. That's a Saul, yeah. It's not Saul Shkach. It's not just Kedushin Mem Aleph. You know, we know, we got to know what's on the daf, right? Very good. So says Gemara, Hahu Gavra Demashkin Le Pardise Lechavre. So there was a certain person, so let's use me and Binyamin. And again, I was looking this over and I was saying, okay, if Binyamin gives me this, if Binyamin gives me that, so Shkach Binyamin. Right, so I have a loan, let's say I borrow something from Binyamin, and I give him my orchard as a collateral, right? I give him my field as a collateral. My goal is that after I pay back, I'm going to take my field back, but he has my field. Now, the goal of this type of thing is, let's say I owe him $100, he's going to eat some of the payros on the field that equals $100, and then he'll give me back my field, and we're going to be even, right? That's the deal me and Binyamin have. Now, but it takes a while for this loan to pay back, because it wasn't a $100 loan, it was like $100,000 loan. So it takes 3 years in order for Binyamin to get paid back. And Binyamin's like, you know what? I like this field. This is a nice field. I want to buy this field from you. So Binyamin comes in, doesn't just say, I want to buy this field from you. He kind of makes a nice little threat. Says Binyamin, Amrale imazavdali neale mutav. If you want to sell this field to me, I'm happy to buy it. I'll pay you for it. It's going to be good. But just know, v'ilo kavishnale shtar mashkanta v'amina lekucha hibiyadi. And what's going to happen is I'm going to take the star mashkel that we had, meaning the proof that this was a collateral. I've been on here for 3 years. When you're on a land for 3 years, what's that called? Cheskas Gimel Shanim. So I've been here for 3 years. I'm going to rip up that mashkon star, and I'm going to say, hey, I bought this field from you. And they're going to say, yeah, where's the star? He's like, well, I've been living here 3 years. I have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Oh, we're getting ready for Bav Basra over here, right? So I have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim, and I'm going to rip up, Binyamin says, Binyamin's going to rip up that other star that says it's a mashkon, so he's basically blackmailing me right now into selling him the field. So I think, oh, I got a good move to go back. So I say, okay, you know what? You could buy it from me. So he's going to buy it from me tomorrow. So today, I go to my little katan son, and I say, here, I am gifting this to you, and I have Adim and a star and everything that I gave it over to my kid as a gift, which means I no longer have the ability to sell it because it's not mine, but then I sell it to Binyamin. So what's going to ultimately happen? We'll wait a week, we'll let Binyamin enjoy, think he came with a win, and then my son's going to come to court and say, hey, you just bought a field that wasn't yours. And then what's Binyamin going to say back? Oh man, he got me back. But, well, not Star Mukhtamir, but Binyamin's going to say back, well, he sold me this, I have the sale document, so I can go collect from, Binyamin can go collect from my other fields or my Mishubadim. But that way, at least I tied it up, right? I kind of didn't just give in and give in to the blackmail right away. Now it's more of a discussion. So that's fascinating case. Again, what are the steps? Binyamin lends me money. I give him an orchard. He wants that. He's been there for 3 years. So he says, I'll buy it. But if I don't buy it, then I'm just going to go with the chazaka and rip up the other star. I say, you know what? Buy it from me. I give it over to my kid as a gift and then sell it to him, which is not really a sale, right? We have to remember that whole sale document that I have between me and you is a faulty star. Because I'm not allowed to make the sale to Binyamin because it belongs to my son, right? I'm not allowed to make the sale. So we got to know what exactly is going on over there. It says, so the sale is for sure not a good sale because I don't own it to be able to sell it to Binyamin. But what do we do with Zuze? So when it comes to the money, though, that now I'm going to owe Binyamin because Binyamin paid me for that, Kimilva Bishtar, Damuva Gova Minachas Mishubadim, do we consider it as if it's a Milva Bishtar? And really, it's Gova Minachas and Mishubadim, that you're allowed to go and collect it from all of the leaned properties. Or do we say that this is a Milva Alpe, and you're not allowed to go and collect from Mishubadim? Now, what this has to do with our situation is we now have the Shtar of sale. So if we're going to say that it's a Milva Bishtar, that means that even though there's lies and things that are false on this Shtar, you're still allowed to keep it as a relevant star. But remember, we just said a star muktam, you can't just pick and choose. Once you have a puzzle star, you have a puzzle star. So maybe it should be the same thing between the sale document between me and Binyamin. Yeah? Good. So which one is it? Are you allowed? Is Binyamin now allowed to go and collect from the Mishubadim with this faulty star? Because if it's with a star, then you're allowed to collect from Mishubadim. But if it's a Milval Peh, you can only collect from B'nei Chorin, you can only collect from the fields that I actually have. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, V'lav hainu de Rabbi Yassi. Is this not like that which Rabbi Yassi says? D'amar Rabbi Yassi, Moda B'shtar Shekasu, Eino Tzarech L'kayim, V'gova Minachas Mishubadim. When you have a case of Moda B'shtar Shekasu, so again, let's say there's a back and forth. Before, normally, when you would go and bring a star to Beis Din has to certify that this is a real star. Someone can go and claim Mizuyaf, that this is a forged star, and this is not something which we can continue with, so you can go and make that claim. So Beis Din does a hempik, and they go and confirm that this is a real star. But let's say a guy says, this is a real star, but I paid it back. So now we acknowledge that this is a real star because this guy admitted that this was a real star. Now the whole question is about the payback. So now we're going to have more of a question. But Moda B'shtar Shekasvu, so let's say this guy admitted that the star was written. Eino Tzarech L'kaimo, so you don't need to now have Beis Din certify the fact that this was really written. V'gova Minachas Mishubadim, and you can go and collect from the Mishubadim. So it sounds like this would be the same thing over here. This guy admitted, everyone admitted that this star was written, so you should be able to go and collect from the Mishubadim. It says, Gemara Amar Li Rava, me dummy. Are these cases really comparable? Hasam nitan lehi kasev, hachalon nitan lehi kasev. That star, in the case of Moda B'shtar Shekasev, that was a star that made sense to have been written at some point in time. But this star between me and Binyamin never should have even existed. It's all false. It's all fake. It's all fraud. It should never have existed, and therefore, that's going to be a totally different case. Says Gemara, Yasim Mereimar Kamra Lash Maita. So when Mereimar was sitting there and said over the story, Amar Le Ravina La Mereimar. So Ravina said back to Mereimar, Elohad Amar Rabbi Yochanan Gzerish Amiyigbe Mizman Rishon Neim Aloni Tan Le Kasev. But Rabbi Yochanan had this statement, right? Rabbi Yochanan gave this whole reason as to why we can't go and collect when it comes to Ishtar Muktam, because maybe even within the Rabbanan, who don't penalize you. Remember, we said that maybe someone's going to be tempted, they're going to go and collect from Zman Rishon, so why not give a different reason? Just say that the Shtar never should have been written, the Mukdam should not have been written. So says Gemara, that's again not comparable. Granted, when I wrote January on the Shtar that happened on May, so the January part was false, but the May part was true. So that should be okay to be written. But here the entire thing was fraudulent. I went into this. I know that I gave it to my son as a gift the day before. Now when I'm trying to sell it over to Binyamin, I know that that's fake and false. But there's a brisa. L'shvach karkos ketzad. When we have shvach karkos, how do you deal with this shvach karkos? So what's this case of shvach karkos? So shvach karkos, let's see, where's this Rashi over here? Shvach karkos, ketzad, it's the last wide line of Rashi. Rashi didi ein motin lachios perzul shvach karkos midachos mishubadim mibnei tikkun olam. Become referred to shvach karkos ketzad. So normally we have this concept that because of tikkun olam, we don't go and take the all the improvements, the better stuff of the land and whatever it is, what we're going to be collecting from people. We don't want to take all the increases from the land, otherwise people are never going to loan. So what's this case over here? So ketzad, hari shigazal sadem mechaveru umachra la'acher v'ishbicha. So let's say we have a situation where I go and steal a field from Binyamin, and then I go and sell it to Baruch, right? So I steal from Binyamin, and I sell it to Baruch v'ishbicha, and now Baruch improves the field. Varehi yotze mitachas yado. So now Binyamin comes and collects the field from Baruch. Kishu gove sakaren minachas mishubanim. So now when Baruch goes and collects from me, right? Because again, I stole from Binyamin and I gave it to, and I sold it to Baruch. So now Binyamin says, hey, I want my field back. He goes and collects it from Baruch. So now Baruch has a taina on me, right? So now he made all of these improvements to the field. So when he collects the principle of what it was worth, he collects from my mishubadim. V'shevach gova minachas minichorim. When it comes to the shevach, all of the improvements he made that he now needs to get paid for, that comes from my own properties. That needs to come from my stuff. But says Gemara again, name alone itan li kasev. So again, once we're saying that this is a faulty shtar because I stole it from Binyamin and sold it to Baruch, I have no right to go and sell this to Baruch. So this is a faulty star from the beginning. We should say this should be a false star from the entirety of its existence. And this is lo nitan li kasev. Says Igmar again, even over there, it's not a comparable case. Because achiyash, how can you compare? Hasam ilama damar nechale delo nikre gazlana. Either, whether we want to say it's because I don't want to be known as a gazlan. And therefore, I know that if ultimately Baruch ever finds out that this was a stolen field, meaning if Binyamin finds out that I stole his field and sold it to Baruch, if he ever finds out, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make it okay. So I'm going to go and find the way to pay back Binyamin, so that way I'm not going to be known as a gazlan. Or I just don't want Binyamin or Baruch to be mad at me, so I'm going to make a way to appease everybody. I'm going to pay whatever I'm going to have to pay up. Now, I think I'm not going to get caught, but I'm prepared that if I do get caught, I'm going to make sure to have a real transaction. I'm going to buy the field off Binyamin, and that way my sale with Baruch is going to be okay. I'm going to figure it out. So umukim le l'shtara, and therefore the shtar would potentially be good. But hacha lavruche minei kamechavin shtara mekayim lei. But here, my only intention is to get back at Binyamin. So I have no other intention other than to mess him over. I gave it to my son the day before. I'm selling it to him. That's why these are not going to be comparable cases. It's only in the case of me and Binyamin where, again, he was threatening me, blackmailing me with the cheskas gemal shanim. I then went and gave it to my son and sold it to him. It's only there where we're going to say the entire thing can't be a shtar in the first place because it was totally faulty with no intention or no possibility of making this a valid type of shtar. Good. Now comes the Mishnah.
I understand why you can't make the same argument with the son. Oh yeah, if he comes back and he comes to me, I'll figure out how to get the field away from the son.
You can't necessarily control other people. But here I could say that I'll pay Binyamin off or I'll pay Baruch off. I'll make sure I can control my own actions, that I will make it okay in some capacity.
But I could buy it back from my son.
Well, you don't. Maybe he won't want to sell it to you.
But maybe he won't want to sell it to
you. No, but that's what I'm saying. With this stuff with Binyamin, I can always appease it by paying Binyamin more than whatever he got with the Shevach over here. That's what we're saying. Because there's no possibility that you can go and fix this in the same type of way. When the Shtar was written, but it's also the Das when the Shtar was written, right? When I'm writing this Shtar to sell it to Baruch, even though it's not my field, I know in the back of my head as I'm writing this Shtar, if something were to happen, I'm going to go and make it okay. In this Shtar, I just want to mess over Binyamin because how dare he blackmail me like that? Good. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah. New Mishnah. Ein poskin al ha-peiros ad shi yatzah ha-shar. So you're not allowed to go and do this piska. Remember, this was the early bird type of special. I can't make an agreement that I'm going to go to Binyamin and say, hey, Binyamin, I'm buying $100 worth of fruit at today's prices, because who knows what the prices are going to look like in 100 days. It seems to only go in one direction, though, at least nowadays, only goes up. But let's say I go in Binyamin, I say, Binyamin, I'm buying 100 apples from you at today's price. Here's the money, and you'll pay me back. You'll give me the apples in 6 months. Right. You're not allowed to do that, because that's going to be ribbis, because the price might change. He's going to end up paying me. He's basically, I'm getting a better price right now. I want to lock in the price right now. I'm getting a better price right now, and you're getting liquidity in cash. So I'm basically giving you a loan for a better price. So that's why this is going to be a ribbis issue, and that's something which we say is going to be a problem. Remember, we said in an earlier Mishnah, the way to get out of this is the concept of yeshlo, that if Binyamin has the apples in his house, he just is, you know, he wants to make them grow better or whatever he wants to do with his apples, but he doesn't want to give them to me for a little bit, then that's not going to be a problem, because it's yeshlo. The only problem was when it's ainlo. But so in boskin al averzat yotza hashar, until there's a market price established for them, then you're allowed to go do this. Yotza hashar, poskin, once the shar has been appointed, there's a basic market price for it, then you are able to go and make this deal. Why? Because even though Binyamin might not have these 100 apples right now, if the market price is $1 per apple, and I give him $100 right now, even though he doesn't have the apples, someone else does. So he can always go and buy them, and then he can have them.
Does that mean, because he might establish, he might contract for a price that's higher than what we can buy it otherwise, and then it's ribbis on the difference?
In which case? The first part or the second one?
The first one.
Well, no, what we're concerned about is that I'm going to give Binyamin $100 right now for him to give me apples in 6 months from now, and I'm locking in a price. He doesn't have these things. He's going to pay me back these 100 apples, which are now worth $150. Right. And it turns out that if we kind of zoom out, I gave him a loan of $100 for him to pay me back $150. That would be ribbis, right? That's exactly what we're saying, right? So now, let's say Binyamin, let's say I'm like one of the first of the reapers, right? Or Binyamin's one of the first of the reapers over there. Posekimo al ha-gadish, you're allowed to go and make this price based on the gadish. V'al avet shel anavim, and on the vat of grapes. V'al ha-matan shel zeishim, on the vat of olives. V'al ha-beitzim shel yotzer, on the clay makers, on the, what's the word there? The clay stuff, right? The clay balls, that's what I was looking for. And on this lime, when you're making lime. So if anyone's doing any of these stuff, these examples, so, and you're also allowed to, the Tanakhama says, you're allowed to go and make a price on zevel all year, because zevel, the manure, is very easily accessible at any time. You don't actually need to have it there. You know you're going to get your zevel. Right, Rabbi Yossi Omer ain poskin al zevel imkin aislo zevel ba'ashper. Rabbi Yossi though disagrees. He says no, you need to have a yeshlo situation when it comes to manure. It needs to actually be in the ashba. V'chacham ratirim. V'chacham say no, it's okay. Now you're allowed. Uposeg imo b'shar ha-gavoa. So now you're allowed to go and make a deal with the shar ha-gavoa, which basically means that let's say I'm buying from Binyamin. I'm allowed to say that if the price goes down, then I reserve the right to go and pay the lower amount. So I'm giving you $100 right now, but if the price goes down, it's going to be a win-win for me. The most I'm going to pay is 100. I'm not going to pay more. If it goes to 150, I'm not paying that. But if it goes to 50, then I'll get my money back and I'll pay you for whatever it is. Rabbi Yudomer, afa pisha lo pasak imo b'shara gavoa, even though you can't do this b'shara gavoa, yachal lomar lo tein li kazeh, o tein li es ma'osa. I'm allowed to say to Binyamin, either give me this apples at this price, or give me back my money, so I'm allowed to go back. And it wouldn't even be a mishapara, it sounds like. If you look at the Rashi at the end over here, he says, Tain li kazeh lazeh. He says, Shari lo mashach, there was no mashicha, v'yoch lachzer, but v'afilu mishapara leka, v'lo nasa mosav, amanas lekam, b'lachzer, because since there was no transfer of goods, there's not even going to be a mishapara, right? A throwback. Remember what mishapara is? What's mishapara? The curse. When's the curse done? When is the curse? Remember what did the Mishnah say? When you renege, at what point?
After you received the goods.
No, so once you moved the goods to the Mashiach, then it's a full Kenyan. Excellent, right? When you paid for it but didn't actually give it, that's when the Mishapara came up. Good, let's do a little bit of the Gemara. I'm sorry, we're running late. So we said that you're not allowed to go and do this Pisca with the Shara of the Shuk, with the standard price of the Shuk. Are we saying that this is going to be even the case when you have a big time marketplace where this is the established price? That should probably be okay. Are we saying it even over there? So I'm relate low. So no, we're not saying that. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Ella B'Shuk Shala. I'm sorry. I'm relate low. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Ella B'Shuk Shala Ayaros Lo Kivi Tarayhu. We're only talking about the marketplace of the cities, which is not like a set price where it still could fluctuate up and down. Only once there's like a big time mall, a big time marketplace where this is the price and it's barely going to fluctuate, that's when you're allowed to go and make these deals. So according to the one who did say that there was a real Havamina, that even in the giant marketplace, that you can't, even once it's established over there, you can't do this. So what was this case of Yatza Hashar, that once the market value is established, that you're able to go and make this Pisco? What's the case? So what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a case. What's the translation over there? What does it say? Right, we're talking about a case where it's someone who has, you know, they open their field and therefore there's so much supply that you know the prices are going to stay the same. When we have some sort of guarantee that the prices are going to stay the same in some capacity, then we know it's going to stay over there. All right, so we'll stop there. Well, you know, making up for yesterday. Yesterday we got on to Amud Aleph, so today we have to end a little higher up on Amud Beis. But this is what we'll do. So again, let's just review quickly what we did today. So we started on Ayin Beis. And we spoke about this case of the Geirus, right? Where someone made, we restructured the loan. At what point do you restructure? At what point is the Geirus to go and change certain things? So we spoke about that, which got us into a big discussion about Knas for the Heter stuff when you're dealing with something Usher. Rabbi Meir versus the Chachamim. We had a lot of other cases which seem to express this. Let's say a Shtar was written explicitly when it was false. This whole case of Binyamin blackmailing me, is this comparable to the other cases over there? Shtar Mukdam, Shtar Mu'uchar, stuff along those lines. Then we got into the market value price, that we're not allowed to do these early bird types of special things, and how exactly that would work, and what's Yatza Hashar means, the market value of what? It sounds like it's got to be a big marketplace if we can figure out a way to say that these certain things are not going to fluctuate, the prices are not going to fluctuate too much, then we're going to be okay. You watch, like, I remember watching, well, this is Daf Ayin Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day and a great Shabbos.